Mr. Frank Real Sex.
Regards, one is an idiot, or not what other people think one to be, but what one knows one is oneself. And though I have nothing whatever to do with the politics of Mr. Powell, one thing that he said quite correctly was that you cannot regard yourself as being a son, whether adopted or otherwise, of a country if you don't support the sport team. And my Britishness came out when a Czech football team was playing an English football team, and I found myself shouting for England. This is something of a surprise. So, when people say, where do you come from? I tend to say, Manchester. Because that's my home. All right, I've got a lot of friends in Switzerland. I ski, in spite of my feet. And I could live in Switzerland perfectly easily. And I'm quite sure I could live in Prague. But if you ask me where my home is, where I belong, it's here.
Can I just go back now to the earlier part of what you said to clarify one or two things? I think there was a slip of the tongue at one stage where, if you played it back, you said about you getting frostbite on your way to Fürstengruber, but I think you meant on your way to Dora Nordhaus. I think you may have said earlier by a slip of the tongue there. I just wanted to clarify that. Also, another thing is, what was the relationship between the two camps geographically, Dora and Nordhausen? They were next to each other.
Dora was the camp. Nordhausen is the town. Nordhausen is the town. And the camp was connected with the tunnel inside the mountain where the V2 was manufactured. And of course the prisoners were used to manufacture the V2. The interesting question is, what would I have done had I been fit? Because I can't really see myself manufacturing V2 bombs. But one never knows.
That again raises something else you put in the CV you kindly prepared, which concerned one line. You were talking about the question of resistance in camps. Could you enlarge on that, about the possibilities?
It was mainly passive. I mean, we all knew that the more we can occupy the Germans, the more difficult it would be for them to fight the Allies. So, as far as one could, one interrupted communications, be they all spread. Wrong communications, which were believed, and that caused havoc. It's very easy to undermine security, as unfortunately the IRA are only too aware of, by just a slight aside, and by requiring larger and larger and larger number of people to look after you, by knowing what is likely to be the next move of your enemy, and try to sabotage it so that it either couldn't happen, or that it took longer to happen, or that it had the opposite of the desirable effect. Or whether it was when the Taylor Epcos came visiting camp, and the band was playing on one side, and we paraded some people who were what you're doing. And we were supplying food or coal as little as possible, and for more as quality as possible. At the same time, trying to preserve your own existence. So we were constantly in a balancing act. And then, if you had a relationship over any on any personal basis between the command, actually the people who were in charge, locally, and yourself, then you try to show that there are human beings on your side, not some exterminable pests or under them, and undermine their morale. And I think we were pretty good at that.
Could I also clarify about Fürstengruber that you did two things? You did the job with underneath the Polish supervisor,
yes,
that you've described,
yes,
but then you also described earlier on how you made this impression on the camp commandant,
yes,
there.
Yes.
What was the relationship in time between those two things? Which did you do first?
I worked at night in the mine, and I'd be taken, I mean, there was a parade going on when you went out, the parade when you came back, the heads were counted, and the edicts were announced, and so on and so forth. Of course, in freezing cold, while we wet to the skin. And the commandant would send for me in the evening, not before I went. And I wasn't spared the duties. The other thing, of course, that happened in the mines was that my lot, my transport, the few of us who went to Fürstengruber, were really personal and guard on all sides, because there were long-standing, very, very strongly minded Polish Jews who had been through the whole ghetto process since childhood, and who regarded us as ghettos and as enemies. And there was an incident when my Polish boss in the mine got another assistant because we had some extra rails to come in. And this guy insisted on being at the front, and I was at the back. And he would suddenly stop, of course, again, tremendous wedge. And then I got an answer as an adult in the front. And he had a very much better trick. He dropped the rail. You can imagine, if you carry a long way on your shoulder, it can break your collarbone and dislocate your shoulder or strain your neck, cause you incapacitate. And if you incapacitate, you don't survive in caps. So I threatened him, and he did it once again, and I hit him. And he hit the wall, the cold wall, and became very unconscious. And it was made very plain to me by the mates, his mates, that if he dies, I'll kill him. Unfortunately, he survived. But nobody had tried to kill me again. But there were in the camps very, very close societies. Personally, we had Polish Jews, Poles, Germans, one or two colored people, gypsies, criminals, rapists, we called the murderers, rapists, and everybody had a different triangle or square, I can't remember. Which was which. And if you were in the camp, a longer than somebody else. You were regarded as more senior and more worthy, and so on. So you were not only in danger from the Germans, but you were in danger from the inmates. And again, you see, it's the training that one got gradually, and that one knew how to play the rules. If I hadn't stood up to that guy, the whole clique that was around him would have got at me, because they obviously saw that I had a privileged position in relation to the Polish miner who gave me food. And vodka. So they wanted one of their guys to be in the position. And then we did work mostly in a dry part of the pit. We only got wet walking out of it. You know, walking out from the fire and through. Whereas some of these people worked in water all the time. So it was a question of survival. And they obviously wanted to remove me from my privileged position.
You quoted a figure saying you were, what, two survivors out of a large number?
Yes.
What exactly did you mean by that?
Well, if you take the head count, I can't do it anymore exactly. I think it was 2,500 states, verifiable anyway. My number out of Prague was AAW107. That was the transport.
These are the people who came out of Prague?
Yeah, in my transport, Prague, were 2,500. Now, out of those, I'm the only survivor, as far as I could check. Then there were, I think, something like 4,000, but I can't be certain, coming out of Terezin for Auschwitz. Those, as far as I can check, I'm the only survivor. Then there was a transport from first by Auschwitz to Dora Nordhaus. And then there were the prisoners that we acquired also en route. And of those who came with me to Nordhaus, I believe I'm the only one.
That
because that camp was largely evacuated, only a handful of us remained there. And all the others who remained there were there before I got there.
The group.
So if you take all those figures, if you take the people with whom I was taken out of Prague, like those off for a start. On the people with whom I was in camp in Tennessee. I don't mean my relatives, people in my unit, in Malabosa. Then we transfer that to the transport to Auschwitz. And then from Auschwitz to First, and a whole lot in first, and then an even bigger lot going from first to surrounding camps to the capital, and then Dora. Most of those perished. Doesn't leave much from what I was.
The group of orphans, as you describe them, who came to Windermere, of what nationalities were they?
You know, I don't know. I think they're mostly Czech, if not wholly Czech. I don't know. But you see, all three of us, Otto, Felix and myself, had fathers here. So we weren't actually orphans. We were half orphans.